NRP Episode 3, Tiny Chat Live. Okay, everybody, this episode was recorded live December 2nd using TinyChat, and it's still a little experimentative. I like the idea of doing a live show like this, but I still got to learn how to mix stuff properly, so you might hear a little bit echo from me, but trust me, it's a lot better than it was. So, without further delay, here's me and Shannon talking about stuff. First up, the movie The Room.
Oh, man. I could not pinpoint where his accent was supposed to be in that movie.
I think he was French-Jamaican, like, is what I heard.
He sounded like the chick from Werewolf, from Mystery Science Theater. It's like if they just picked up their accents off of each other, like if they're locked in a room.
Oh, man. That explains it. It's like, I've just been in this room forever, and we've been catching each other's accents until we don't speak a language anymore. It's like twin language. Twin speak.
I can see that. I can totally see that. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Have you seen the short with the house that dripped blood on
the Tim and Eric Awesome Show?
No, no. Although, I'd like to see that.
Oh, that one. No. That just sounds like fun.
Yeah. What about the Tim and Eric Awesome Show?
With Ron and Clinton. Yeah, I don't know about Adult Swim shows anymore.
Yeah.
It's like playing roulette. You never know if it's going to be good or, oh, this is horrible.
Another reason I'm glad I don't have cable. And I've been doing research on cable lately to get an idea for, like, shows for the strip. And it's just, it's devastating how much crap.
Cable TV, it's like you pay for a lot of channels. And it's just, like, categorized crap. It's, like, mm-hmm. every show of this theme, and they're all horrible.
Yep.
Hey, Wiley, did you know that, you want to talk about Essie McGee? Meredith Grahan was an animator on that.
Essie McGee?
Yeah, it was a talking ass. Yeah. He was a talking ass.
Okay.
A cop show, yeah, pretty much. He was a gun-slinging, talking, hard-drinking, womanizing ass.
Does it have a... I don't know.
Don't ask questions you don't want to know.
Yeah, curiosity will kill me.
Yep. Or the Assy McGee, but one of the two.
God damn.
Alright. Okay. Oh, now Ryan's leaking an image for you, in case you want to see him.
I am. Fine. I'll bite.
Then all of a sudden it's hentai porn.
Wait, I've seen that before. I've seen that ass before. I'd know that ass anywhere. I don't remember where, though. Probably on BMAR.
Probably.
I'm not looking at a video, right? I'm podcasting.
Yeah, we're getting ready to record a show. Which we probably should. We should probably start it. Should I turn my volume down? No, we're recording, but we haven't officially introduced everybody. Let me turn it down, because I think I'm
all
peaking here, so...
You were fine, although usually have my volume turned. Hang on a second. Yeah. Well, no, I thought you were fine before, but...
Alright, I just want to make sure I'm not blowing out speakers, you know. Alright, so, webcomics.
Web.
Well, let's start off. Okay. Hi, everybody, I'm Ben, and joining me today is the ever-lovely, lovely Shannon. And do you want to plug your site?
Sure. Whitehouse.com for all your haunted lighthouse ghost needs. Whitehousecomic.com, did I say that? Sure.
I don't see, I always get your URL wrong too, so, because I always want to say right house, and then I spell
no, it's white,
white wrong.
White, W-I-G-H-T,
it's just,
house comic.
It's just light with W.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Light with a, yeah, light with a now, W. I always tend to spell it out because
okay.
I'm more ghost-oriented than, you know, homophone-oriented, so...
Ah, okay. So, and is it because you wanted to do a strip about lighthouses? Was that the whole origin behind that? Or you had this epic story about a ghost you wanted to tell, and it just so happened to take place in a lighthouse?
It was more about the ghost, although, you know, right now it's more about the lighthouse. But that's because I didn't know when I started that the lighthouse was completely empty. So now I have to go through all this crap just to have him have a house. You know, I wanted him to have a home, like, with rooms and stuff. And then I was doing research, and it's like, oh, I tore everything out. So, yeah. Right now, it's more about the lighthouse, but the ghost should be making an appearance very soon. So, another appearance, I guess I should say.
You mean like in my guest comic I did for you? that fan art for your birthday? That was a lot of fun to draw. It took me forever, but... I've been out of practice, so.
Yeah, why did you suspended, right? Your comic?
Mm-hmm. Well, the idea was I was going to take some time off and draw the whole chapter at a time and then upload it. Mm-hmm. But I always run into the same problem. Like, I go in bursts creatively. Like, I'll do a whole lot, and then if I don't get a lot of reaction, like nobody's reading or nobody tells me
okay, you're dropping
it,
out, voice-wise.
Oh, must be my headphones. Can you hear me? Is this any better?
Yes.
Okay. Alright, so, I am peaking in red now. Alright, now that we've talked about ghosts and webcomics, I mean, I'll be getting back to mine. I worked on a strip today, which... I inked it, and I thought it was horrible, so I let it sit for months, and I went back to clean it up today, and it did look horrible, and I still cleaned up.
Yeah.
And then I was going to color it, and it's like, I can't keep these layers straight. I'm just going to save coloring it for another day.
Yeah. It's
all right. But, yeah, but enough about me. You're the one who's actively producing things, so...
Well...
Let's alright, so let's talk about 3D tools in webcomics. As I saw you tweet about Poser.
Okay. Poser, I have actually...
What are you doing with that?
I've used it very little. I always try to, you know, I try to have a mirror handy. I try to scope out, you know, poses and try to imagine it in my head and try to do as much of as I can that way. But I had a weird pose in today's strip, and I'm like... Well, why don't I try using Poser for this? And just the way it works just does not make sense. And unfortunately, Wiley left, which stinks because he's the one who gave it to me. And I thought maybe I could ask him about it. But, like, I wanted her to bend her knee. And the only way you can get her to bend her knee is to grab her heel and, like, drag the leg all over the frickin' place until it works. And then you have to, like, the foot gets all... twisted, and I don't know why, and I couldn't get her to, like, you know, sit down, and, like, I just wanted, and, like, you have to know which joints to manipulate, and you, I don't know, it's like trial and error,
well,
it's total trial and error, it seems like.
Well, have you ever done it much with 3D programs before, or is this just a shot in the blind dark here for you?
It's the latter. Like, I've hardly ever used programs like this. This is the first time I've ever kind of used it. I see, Ryan, I've never used Jerry's Mod. Like, it just seems so overwhelming that I never got into it, and I think you have to pay for it anyway, right? Which is another deterrent. So, Poser's the only thing I've tried besides, like, looking at myself in a mirror or trying to find a picture online.
Well, you've used SketchUp before, haven't you?
Yes. I'm having more problems with SketchUp. So it might be my fault, which is entirely possible. But yeah, I built a model of the lighthouse in SketchUp. I'm not done with it yet, but I tried to add rooms the other day, and it's like you have to cut away the building at some point to be able to see inside of it, and then if you go inside too far, then you can't zoom back out again. Like, the scale gets all screwed up, and...
Well, I would recommend that there's, like, some people, they've got a YouTube channel, but they sell DVDs of their stuff, and they have videos of it on their site, but, you know, I found it through YouTube. I think it's Go to School, they do the SketchUp show, and they talk about different things with modeling, mm-hmm. how to they have a task, like, you know, how to model a house from some blueprints or from some a CAD file, and then it's like, you know, how to make a lantern, they show mm-hmm. how to, you know, different... Just use, and there's like, you know, an introductory one using the tools, and I've used it to teach myself some of it. Like I had, like I said, I went to school and I spent a year at an art institute studying animation, and they had 3D stuff. But I was more of a 2D guy, so I played around with 3D Max because that was what most of the classes used. You know, I mean, I had friends who used Maya, and I've never used it, and it looks terrifying.
Yeah,
but But yeah, SketchUp's more of like, it's more like a drawing program that you can push and pull stuff in, but it's weird how in the in the free version, everything's just a face. There's no really solid objects.
Yeah. I mean, I've made solid objects. So, like the cylinder for the lighthouse is, you know, hollowed out. But, you know, the houses on either side, I just made like faces, like big blocks. I didn't hollow them out, which is probably dumb, but
I don't know. I've been doing some practicing because I kind of do like a... I did a visualization kind of thing where I picked a building that would be my ideal kind of studio if I had a group of people working with me and, you know, I wanted to try and model the building. And the first time it came out horribly, and the second time a little less horribly. You know, I'm working my way through it. But, I mean, I like SketchUp because it's a lot faster than, you know, the typical 3D program where you have to...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, a 3D Max, the year I started using it in college was when they brought in pre-designed trees to where you could just drop them into your model, so all of a sudden everybody's model had trees in it. It's like, okay, here's the default teapot. Oh, and there's a tree, a spruce, for no reason, just because it's there.
Yeah. We have it. Damn it, we're going to use it.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's a good program. It's a little too... Like, SketchUp's more for drawing, I think. Like, it's based around the whole making shapes and then just pulling them into space. So it's a little bit easier.
Yeah. I mean, the barrier of entry is very low. It's pretty easy to learn. I think it's one of those easy to learn, harder to master sort of a thing. I mean, I've looked at the...
Yeah, a lot of people are.
I've looked at the initial videos, and those have been really helpful. Like, the one that Google gives you. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know...
Yeah.
The individual stuff, and I think I screwed up when I originally made it, so otherwise I would have been able to, like, you know, copy the circle on the floor and just scale it and make it another floor. But I don't know. I might have to start over, which is really upsetting.
Well, I mean, like I said, I'm on my third attempt at trying to do that one building, so...
Yeah.
Like, something... A main reason I wanted to learn to use it was to really either to get reference for backgrounds or to use it to render backgrounds, more like what they do on, like, Futurama and Family Guy and stuff.
Yeah.
3D stuff, they just do it in 3D and then they have a toon shader on it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean,
it's... I've seen... There are people that model characters in it. Like, I saw one guy on some blog, he models his characters in it, then he puts them into Maya to tweak them, and then brings them back into SketchUp, and he actually likes to rig them for animation in SketchUp, as opposed to Maya, which I don't know why.
That goes way over my... That's way too complicated for one.
Well, rigging and boning is just making things like puppets. You know, you tell like, okay, I want to be able to bend the arms here, I want to bend the fingers, make them, you know. It's like puppetry, it's just,
yeah.
And Ryan Carl mentions ZBrush. A program I've been using a little bit lately is Sculptress, which is kind of like ZBrush or Mudbox, but it's right now it's in alpha, so it's free. And it's picked up by the folks who do ZBrush. But it's real fun. It's more like organic shapes. It's like working with clay.
Nice.
So it's an interesting contrast when you go from stuff in SketchUp where everything is a line.
Yeah. I was at the art store the other day, and I was, you know, looking at all the drawing books, and it has, like, draw faces, draw figures, draw portraits, draw people, draw animals. Nothing about backgrounds, which is what I have problems with. So it's like, am I the idiot?
Well, here's the thing. Those learn how to draw books are always about learn how we draw this one
picture.
Maybe
with perspective, and I ended up buying four... Hello.
You know, it's always specific. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I think I lost you for a little bit. But...
Yeah, that's the fun of these flash interfaces.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the learn how to draw books are always like, learn how to draw this one image in the book, not learn the principles behind how to draw it.
Yeah, this is true. Although a lot of them are like start with a circle and blah blah blah, but
well, I mean, when it comes to drawing backgrounds, you have to really like the background you're drawing. You have to think of it like drawing a landscape or a portrait or a still life. You have to really be into drawing that, and most people just want to draw the characters and then the white void behind them.
Yeah. I mean, I look back at my first strips, and I'm like, there were, like, no backgrounds. I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? But I cheated out.
My first strips... My first strips didn't even have borders on a lot of them, so...
Yeah, that's how I initially drew them. Yeah. Like, I didn't complete the border, I just used the four corners, like I was mounting a picture. And that started to suck, but... Yeah, I cheated out the last two panels of today's comic because it was like 5 in the morning. Like, fuck it.
But yeah, that's another reason why I've been on hiatus for a while. It's like I can't do the work all night on. Well, you can do that. It's all right.
I can, but I shouldn't, and I don't want to. It's just I suck at time management. And I remember the days back in the days of yore when I penciled on one day and inked on another and it worked out much better. But for some reason,
I've been doing webcomics since 2002 and time management is always a thing that sucks, so.
Yeah, I know I'm not alone, it's just so frustrating.
I don't know. I mean, I always feel like if I had a studio of people that we were all going to work on stuff at the same time, it would be great. But
yes.
Since it's just me, I always fall so far behind.
I know. And that's what I want. I want to move out of my apartment in May, and I want to either get a roommate, like an artistic roommate, which might have problems of its own, or, like, join a studio or something.
Yeah, I would love to join a studio or something. Of course, you would need an income for that, and I'm low on that. That's the fun of being an artist.
Yeah, though. That's great.
Working all that fun stuff out. Well, I mean, we could all just move to Detroit, where
houses
are a dollar.
Yeah. I don't know why Spike and Matt are like, we can't afford something in the city. I'm like, why? I figured that would be the cheapest part.
Well, it's also the cheapest part, but it's also probably the most crime-ridden, slummiest place, probably.
Dangerous, but it's Detroit. What are you expecting?
Yeah.
Like, why even bother mentioning moving to Detroit if you're not factoring in the crime?
The crime. Why move here if you're not thinking about the crime? It's like, what likelihood can I get stabbed today? I don't know. I live in Ohio, so the thought of moving to Detroit, it's like stuff would... It'd be affordable, but then Michigan. I don't know.
Hey, I was born in Michigan. I lived my first 7 years in Michigan.
I mean, it's like, I'm like most Ohioans. I don't really care about football or OSU or anything, but still screw Michigan a little bit. Just a little bit, because we're not Michigan. It's like, I don't know why.
I used to date a guy who didn't actually go to OSU himself, but, like, his brother went, his father worked for them, or, like, you know, covered sports stuff.
He was just a hardcore Buckeye, right?
Yeah, basically came from a Buckeye family and everything, and when he found out that my sister had gone to University of Michigan, he was like a hater. You didn't even go! And I didn't I didn't even know about the rivalry until I met him. It's like, why do you guys hate each other? I don't know.
We don't know why, it's just... I mean, it's like, it's just Michigan, it's just, they've always... There's just, like, the Hatfields and the McCoys. It's always been going on. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Where do you live in
there's
Ohio?
That, so. I'm in between Cleveland and Columbus, so it's...
Okay.
It's yeah, there's a lot of... It's basically, if you're not in one of the big C towns in Ohio, there's nothing going on. You know, if you're in Cleveland, Columbus, or Cincinnati, I guess Dayton's kind of big. I guess Bowling Green's... Well, Bowling Green's basically a college
Toledo?
Campus. That's really all it is.
Yeah. I almost went to the Columbia College of Art and Design. Like, I was, you know, picking up brochures and almost applying and everything, but I was... One, really hesitant, and two, the only reason I was thinking of going there is because my ex's family lived there, and he was a dick, and I didn't go. Yeah.
But we I kind of screwed up my whole college path.
Yeah, me too.
Like, in high school I didn't take a lot of art classes. Like, I took them in freshman year, and it just felt like... Why am I taking this? They weren't doing anything. It's like, I'm doing stuff on my own that's beyond where we are right now in this class project. And, like, here's a self-portrait I drew of myself. Like, but we would do something like this for, like, a final exam. And, like, why take the class then? Yeah. I just did this over a weekend.
Yeah.
But then when it came to picking colleges, it's like, well, I don't know what art schools to apply to. I don't have a portfolio to... You know, I wanted to get into CalArts, but that didn't happen. So I went to the local college, which I guess I should determine that something was up when they want you to spend a year out in an art institute out of their school to get the degree. It's like, well, why am I... You know, so it's like, why am I going to this school if I got to spend a year away? And I knew people that did that, and then they just transferred to the art institute, and I would have done that, except it would have added a year on, and I was just sick of school by then, so...
Yeah, that makes sense. I was going to go to the University of Evansville in Indiana, and the only reason I wanted to go is because they really trumped up their overseas program to England. Like, they had a sister campus in England. I'm like, I want to go there, you know? Fuck Evansville. But I ended up going.
Well, you should have just gone to England, then.
I know. But that was way out of my scope. That would have never happened.
But then again, you know, the whole education thing, like, I don't think high school kids are really, most of them are really ready to decide what school they're going to go to, what career path they're going to go to. I mean, that's why college students, they change their majors like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. Like, I initially wanted to major in English, and I don't know what the hell that would have done for me. I mean, besides the fact that I've...
Well, that's what every English major says. Yeah. I mean, either you're a teacher or...
And I don't want to teach, so I'm, you know, screwed. Failed writer.
And that's mostly what there was at my college. It was mostly education majors, so there were a lot of future teachers, and it was just really... I was like, I don't want to go into art ed. They're like, oh, come on, it's safety.
Yeah.
You can go and teach and then do your own stuff on the side. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'd rather do than teach.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, if I really think there should be like some time off in between high school and going to college to decide what you want to do, and then even then, you change your mind a lot. Like, I was always an art student in college. I just had to figure out specifically what my degree was. So.
Yeah. Well, don't some countries do that in the form of military service, I want to say?
Yeah, well, it's either, in some countries it's either you have to spend a year in the military or a year abroad. Like, I had a friend in high school who was dating a guy from Finland or something that he had to spend a year in another country or something for his citizenship or something like that. I don't know.
That's pretty cool. Despite the fact that it's Finland.
Well, yeah. But anyway, that's, so we've talked about 3D programs. I'm not a big 3D person, but I know my way around. It's just I can always, like, I've taken enough classes to know, like, I can know that there's some automatic way to do this. I shouldn't have to spend 6 hours to move this thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to do it yet, and I have to spend another half hour looking for a tutorial.
Well, that's the nice thing about SketchUp is I've reached the point where I've used it enough to where I know the shortcuts, and that's really helpful. Like, you know, holding shift
shortcuts
down
are really handy.
Yeah. But
unfortunately, I'm programmed myself to, like, I know Photoshop shortcuts so well that it screws me over in other programs. I keep thinking, okay, I'm just going to increase this brush by, oh, no, wait.
Yeah.
That caused the program to crash. Not smart.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we've talked about 3D programs. I know both of us use WordPress.
Wait, what? Something about WordPress, I think it's...
I know. Both of us use WordPress. You use Comic Press, right? I used that way back in the early day when Tyler Martin was on the old Blank Label Comics forums, and he's like, "Hey, has anybody ever made a thing for WordPress that does this?" And I'm like, "Well, other people have done stuff, but like, I think there was a Typepad mod out at the time or something. I might have linked him to that, but I think I tried it out, and it was pretty. Like, when it started out, it was easy to code around, because it was a lot like Walrus. Have you ever seen that PHP script?
No.
It's a very bare-bones archive script that basically just cycles through a folder of images, and also they put in doing blogs the same way, too, so it's kind of, you know, it was good for early learning PHP.
It sounds familiar.
But, it's still out. Like, it's by the guy who does Life of Riley, I believe it is.
Mm-mm.
Life of Wiley? Riley? I don't know. It's I don't know too much about it, but yeah, that was the early Comic Press, and then it got really CSS heavy, and I didn't understand that.
See, I understand CSS.
It got really...
I don't understand PHP. And I have almost no desire to understand PHP.
Well, PHP, like, the easiest thing is to learn tags, so I can move stuff around. I can edit a page fairly easily. It's like, if I have to all of a sudden write a script to do something, I am screwed. Like, I wrote a plugin, or I don't know if it was you'd consider it a plugin, but kind of a hack for the early version of Comic Press that would have an admin page so I could, because I had, like, special strips for holidays, so I was going to have, I don't know, I had like, a whole system of, like, I was going to have alerts come in when somebody was in end of a storyline and say, go back to this to go to the first strip in the storyline, and it took me a long time to write, because I'm not a coder.
Yeah.
And then and then the next update of Comic Press totally broke in, and I was like, I'm just not going to touch this.
That's what I hate about Comic Press. Yeah, last time I updated Comic Press, WordPress was fine. I updated Comic Press and WordPress at the same time, and WordPress worked fine. Comic Press completely broke everything. Like, I had to do a new header.
I don't know.
Which I should have done anyway. Well, but still, it's like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I use a webcomic, and Inkblot is the default theme that comes with it, but it also comes with Archimedes, which is what I primarily use, because it's a very bare-bones style.
Mm-hmm.
And I like webcomic because it puts all the webcomicking stuff in a plugin, and then you can take a theme and then make it work with the plugin. So you don't have to stick with the Comic Press, you know, like with Comic Press, you have to stick with that theme and just tweak it. And And, like, I don't know CSS well enough. Like, I remember I was trying to find where the buttons are to change the buttons in Comic Press to an image.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is spread out over, like, four files. I have no idea where everything is.
So, I know. Yeah, together, sometimes you have to go through the main CSS file to be able to find what you need to change. Sometimes it's, like, in the last version, the stuff I needed to fix previously was in the CSS file, and then it was gone. And I'm like, where is it? And he had moved it to, like, a main thing that you could change from within Comic Press. Which, you know, ideally is great, but it's, like, I was really frustrated. Like, why is
well,
this
it's like if there's not a giant sign that tells you where what stuff has changed,
yeah.
You have to go and find it and learn where the differences are, and those can really.
You know, the last thing that he said, you know, they have to update changes whenever you update something in WordPress, and the last Comic Press update that he had written was like, change some stuff. It's like, fuck you! That helps me. That does not help me at all. Like, stuff to you might be really important to me, or it might be back-end, or I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Well, that's another thing about Comic Press, is, like, it's run by, like, three guys now, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Tyler started it, and I think he handed over stuff to, was it, the guy behind Frump? And then
Frump,
he's also got John.
Yeah, I heard
does
it on somebody else.
Like, he does that Comic Manager plugin.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so I don't know who does actual coding and who's in charge of keeping things semantic and organized and easy to edit.
I don't know.
Like, that was one of the things that drew me into webcomic and Inkblot, which is, I guess, the name of it, even though I use Archimedes. But you know, it's like, it's all done by
Ryan
one guy, but then...
Sorry.
Well, Ryan, he had problems with Comic Press, like... During an update on WordPress, he couldn't figure out how to configure it, and I said, well, why don't you try a webcomic? And then it worked for a while, and then I think he was getting, like, he was going to update his site. Was that what it was, Ryan? You're going to update your site, and then you couldn't find something to change, or you were worried about it being updated, because the guy who made webcomic just kind of said, guys, I'm kind of tired and bored of WordPress right now. I'm going to go do some other stuff.
Yeah.
And... He's kind of come back to the forums, you know, about, the tech support forums that he had for it, but I don't know if it's going to be updating or if it's still open source, I think, but...
That was it. I remember Ryan tweeting about going back to Comic Press. I think the reason was that Inkblot wasn't updating anymore, which kind of blows, because it would be nice to have more
he made... The last big update for it happened on WordPress 3.
Okay.
So, I'd say it's pretty much still... It's good for a few more updates of WordPress. Like, it hasn't broken on me.
Mm-hmm.
I've just had to learn the differences, because when he updated to the 3, he changed a lot of stuff. Like, he's got those specific categories, and... I mean, Well, not specific. What's the word? Like, you know what I'm talking about. You can make your own categories and posts that aren't just posts. They can be webcomic posts. They can be... There's a lot of stuff that I didn't get. I mean...
Yeah.
Because I just converted stuff, and it's like, okay, it works. And then I was like, well, now... When I started 2071, I had to... It was a fresh install of 3, I think. Or when I started posting on it, it wasn't. That was confusing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, WordPress, there's other solutions. There's Strip Show, there's Manga Press, and I mean, I've got a blog about it that I've tried to keep updated, but I never have time to go back and edit this, but...
I don't know.
I mean, I like webcomic. Like... It works for me.
Yeah. I see other... The way my webpage looks, my webpage design is, like, usually the last thing I think about. Which is, you know, no good. But.
it's like, well, okay, I've thrown up the default site, and, well, I should probably get and draw in some comics, and then you come back 3 months later, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, yeah, I should probably change the header and move stuff around, yeah. and then you spend, like, 3 months just working on the design, and it's like, I should be drawing comics again. What am I doing?
Yeah.
That's what I've been doing. Like, I recently switched over to, since I've got all those domains, and they were, for a while, they were their own installs of WordPress, so I had, like, 3 or 4 going at a time, mm-hmm. and then I activated multi-site. So now they're all
multi-site. Yeah.
It is pretty awesome. That's how I made the site for BMAR. It's just I open one up and there you go. It's nice because, I mean, it's nice because you can install plugins and then just activate them on each individual site. It doesn't just have to be. What's going on? Are you talking to people during the show?
No, I'm trying to look up the BMAR site. There we go.
BMARaptors.com. we're still sorting out the whole domain thing, because, like, for mine, I own the domains to mine, so I can just mirror.
Yeah, because when I Googled it, something different came up.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh.
You like the site?
You use the room.
Well, I just started reviewing movies that I remembered. Yes.
Yeah.
I made a page full of trailers, and after a while, it was like just a page of like 25 YouTube clips, and I said, "Well, I should probably spread these out amongst pages."
Yeah.
Rather than just one.
You know what I would like to see is a listing of all the movies we've watched, because I keep forgetting.
Well, that's why I made the site, because I was like, do we really archive what movies we've watched anymore? Because it's been going on for like a year, and you know, and I mean, he was going to be working on the podcast when I talked to him about it. I was like, well, I've got this multi-site install. I'll just make a blog for you guys. You know, I've got hosting, I've got the room for it. I mean. So,
yeah,
that site's gonna be interesting. The more I like putting the original stuff he puts on there, like that year anniversary video and the gathering of the Velociraptors.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
Yeah.
Oh man, we all love Gary. He's awesome.
Yeah. Jerry.
Some people say Gary, some people say Jerry. Which is it? Because Spikes is Gary. God. And so is so is Matt.
I would say Jerry.
Oh, you went back to webcomic, Carl?
Hmm.
Or you went back to comic press, see?
Yeah.
Do we have to tell you how you're running your own site now? Honestly, right. internet.
Chris Strauss started broadcasting.
Oh, and you're tempted to run off, huh? Well, we all know you love Straub. Who doesn't love Straub?
Who wouldn't love Straub? Even my sister loves Straub. She's hard.
What's that
to
supposed to mean?
She's not a webcomic person, but she loves. I've got her into Sheldon, which is awesome. And
well, who doesn't like Sheldon?
Yeah,
I mean,
Sheldon
seriously,
is
I mean,
great.
If you don't like Sheldon, then you probably don't like.
But
anything.
Yeah,
I mean,
like, you don't like life. You hate mankind.
Why must
you? Yeah, she
why
likes
him
chainsaw suits.
Why must you?
But
hate
I don't think I get it. Have a cat.
Well, you're not supposed to think. Chainsaw suit, you're not supposed to think very much, but it's just supposed to be. Okay, that was funny. Moving along.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I guess we can transition into talking about other podcasts now. Because since we're talking about Star,
well,
we can talk about Webcomics Weekly, which recently came back.
Yeah. And they have the two that I listened to, and I really liked. They're very nice to listen to, like, while I'm drawing.
It's for me, I always listen to them on my break after drawing. Like, when I'm trying to clear my head and I just want to get in the mood to get back to work, I listen to them. But I can't think creatively and work unless it's just, like, a mind-numbing task, which creating isn't usually for me.
Well, what happens with me is, like, I need concentration to be able to write the script and to do the layout, but once I know what I'm going to draw, I can basically listen to anything. It's like it's a matter of how into I want to be. Like, just, you know, wordless music, I'll probably go faster, but like Mr. Science Theater or a movie, I'll go slower, but I'll still get it done. But like, if I have to think
if
about
I watch
something,
a movie, like, I'll end up having to watch the movie. Like, I can never
it
just
depends.
Have something playing unless it's something I've seen 1,000 times.
Exactly, and that's
cool
why
like
I love Mystery Science Theater, because of I can't see a new one. You know? I have to see one I've seen
watched
it dozens of times. I just have it on the background.
They have a huge catalog. I haven't seen all of them. My brother, I think, has, though. He's got a huge collection. I see them when I get around them. So, but yeah, there's the Webcomics Weekly. That's it. Go ahead. Sorry, there's a lag, so if I cut you off, feel free to talk.
I know. I'm trying to work around it. Ryan, I have not listened to that. I heard the Nog podcast that they did about Minecraft, and like two of them, and I thought it was hilarious, but I really don't know if that has legs. How has it been so far? Because I haven't played Minecraft in months.
You know what? I'd like to do a podcast on Minecraft and have it be like day one, the zombies came, I cowered in fear. Day two, I built a house. Day two and a half, oh no, I burned my house down. Fire, bad.
Ryan, I have hung out with those guys on several occasions. I hope you realize that.
Ooh. Somebody thinks she's awesome. I like the pinky out. That is a nice touch.
Yeah, shut up. I was very unconscious.
Oh.
No. I did New Year's Eve with them last year, and went there over the summer, and yeah, we've gotten together like 4 times, something like that. It's been fun.
Yeah, I don't know. There's been a couple new webcomics podcasts lately. There's been the Lightbox webcomics podcast and the Webcomic Workshop podcast.
Now, what's that about? What's the
Which
Lightbox one?
One
about?
The Light one, it's Chris Flick, who does Capes and Babes, and then somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've tried listening to it, but
I see him post all the time on webcomics.com.
Yeah, we're trying to talk you into Minecraft in the chat room. That's awesome.
I think there was like an introductory thread on webcomics.com and like list your website and, you know, all your information, and I put mine on there and I got some followers out of it, and I found a couple of cool ones, but a lot of them, yikes. But
well, it's the same as with anything. Like when Comixpedia came out, you know, it's like people list their sites and there's a whole dump of sites, and then you might find 2 or 3 good ones. And
yeah. I can't remember if Capes and Babes were any good. I don't think that I liked it.
It's all right. I mean, it's a gag comic about running a comic book shop, so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not a big comic book guy, though, so it's
yeah,
like.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like. It's kind of like if I tried to read Evil Inc., my friend's IMing me and I'm trying to do a show. It's ringing real loud. Anyway. Sorry about that, technical issues. But anyway. Ryan Carl, webcomics.com, home of all the drama forever. Oh, come on, man. Were you into webcomics when Comixpedia started? That was a nice big drama dump site for a long time. And now there's Daily
happy
Cartoonist.
Place, happy place,
with its
happy place.
What's the matter, Shannon? Webcomic
hey,
drama.
I gotta tell you this.
I gotta tell you this now. If other people causing drama causes you to freak out, you shouldn't be in webcomics because it's always there. It's
true.
Always been there.
Yeah.
I mean, I was around back in the day of the whole Squiddy and Penny Arcade drama, which that's legend
Squiddy?
Of yore to some people nowadays. Yeah, the guy who did a pixel art comic. Mm-hmm. And basically, he had some email exchanges with them, and people misread it as he was trying to start a... Like, he was saying that he shut down other sites before, and they're like, are you threatening to shut down Penny Arcade?
Oh,
and then it basically got into, like, people were flaming him to hell on forums, but then he... I don't know, it's an interesting saga.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Hello, Melinda.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my friend Mel. I went to college with her at the Art Institute.
What was I gonna say? I remember when Penny Arcade was in Jerk City, which was very, very strange.
Oh, Penny Arcade.
Yeah, that was really weird. Yeah, and, you know, I love, you know, Randy Milholland, who always attracts drama no matter what. So, yeah.
Well,
I guess I shouldn't say
Randy's
I hate
fun,
it.
Cause
yeah.
Randy's fun. I mean, I haven't delved into something positive. I'd like to. I just don't
really?
Read that many comics anymore.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, when I first started reading comics, I read a lot of the Keen Spot stuff before it pretty much became the Crosby Family Factory.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, I read a lot of those. I read a lot of old stuff on Keen Space. Actually, I remember Straub used to be part of Rocket Box Comics, which had D-Pad and Ink... Who's the guy he does?
Beetle.
No,
Ink
he does. Breakfast. He does a comic now that's really popular. Crap. I mean, he's people are probably gonna say, "How can you forget that guy's name?" It's been like 10 years, man. I don't remember. But he does. Like Kurt's talked about him on a couple of shows because he gave him some advice on starting out, and then there was some drama with that, and I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was Ink Tank.
Oh, okay.
It was Ink Tank and D-Pad, Straub, a couple other guys. I can't remember. Like, that kind of just fizzled out, I guess. I don't know what happened with that.
Yeah.
But that's when I started reading Checkerboard Nightmare back in the day.
That guy, I always heard of Checkerboard Nightmare, but I never checked it out. And when I finally got into Chris last year, I couldn't read it. Because everything was so...
Well,
it was so self-referential. It's
a lot of it's drama.
It's
like, yeah, if you're here in 2004, you get it. Because you're reading these other webcomics that he's referencing.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I mean, I read the entire, like, last year of It's Walkie and didn't know what the hell was going on. But I still read it. So.
Yeah, see, I never got into It's Walkie. I never got into a lot of old strips. But I'm still pretty loyal to the ones that I started reading like 10 years ago, with some exceptions. But at the same time, I kind of want to stop reading some of them because they've gotten really dull. But I'm a traditionalist. I have a hard time letting go.
Oh man, I don't know. It's like I just kind of fell behind. Like even stuff I like, I just don't have time to read it until I take like a day off to just enjoy it.
Mm.
Like I bought the first two Sinfest books, and I love the comic, but I haven't had time to read it in, you know.
Yeah, it's the same with Girls with Slingshots. Like I bought her first two books, and I basically never read them. And I went back and tried to read the first one. It's like, wow, her style is totally different.
Well, I mean, when I read I read all the Sinfest strips up to when I got the first two books. So it was stuff I had, but it was all about supporting an artist whose comic I like. Like
exactly.
When I saw, like when I got into Sheldon, I think I got the first books. like, I wasn't a regular reader at the time, but I was aware of it. Mm-hmm. I'd read the occasional Link comic. So,
yeah.
When I went to San Diego one year, I bought the first couple books. That was fun.
Yeah.
And I caught up on it on the plane right back, because you got nothing else to do.
Exactly. Yeah, I think I read my Sheldon book waiting at the airport for my freaking flight after Webcomics Weekend. That was fun.
Webcomics Weekend. I've wanted to attend Webcomics Weekend. I haven't had the occasion to travel out yet.
Well, it's only been 2 years, and I missed last year, so this year is my first year. There's time.
Ah. God, there I am.
But yeah, it was nice. They really need to figure out how to heat their building better, or actually cool it off better during the panels, because I felt like passing out. But other than that, I wanted to do what I think, I was talking to Wiley about it, because we traveled together for this thing, and just the sheer, I am not exempt from this, but just the sheer overweightitude of the entire community almost. And he mentioned something that Spike had done, like a month of weight loss sort of thing, and I'm like, that sounds awesome, but I haven't heard anything about it in months. And that would be nice. Because we're in trouble.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I guess in general.
What do you mean trouble?
Dude, does Twitter even go back that far? I mean, there's stuff
it
that
can. I mean, there's
Black Nerd has cataloged, but I don't know if you would have done that.
I don't know. I can't remember. I remember her mentioning that on one of her streams once. But anyway. This is going to be a great show. Everybody has to listen to like 6 other shows and read 5,000 tweets to catch up on what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, New England Webcomics Weekend, I like it because it's specifically a webcomics oriented show, and I really want to attend it, but I couldn't afford a trip, like, just out of nowhere. Like, especially since my brother just decided to get married in Jamaica.
Yeah.
So.
That bastard.
Like, the last time I went.
I was trying to remember what movie you missed when you were in Jamaica.
I missed the anniversary show, although they did replay Litz-O-Mania.
Litz-O-Mania, yes. You were so lucky he replayed that movie was so incredible.
Now, I bought Sinbad with Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, I saw that.
I got that on DVD at an outlet store for like $3.
So bad.
And it was worth every penny.
I love Luigi
Cozy movies. I seriously want his discography. Because we can talk about those in a little bit. Let's finish up the con talk first.
Yeah. Like, bring his name back up.
Don't worry, I will. I'm a fanboy. So, but But the last conventions I went to, like, I've gone to Mid-Ohio Con, because it's in Ohio, I should go to it, but unfortunately it's around Thanksgiving, so nobody ever wants to go with me.
Right.
And then I went to San Diego Comic Con in 2006 and 2008, and everything that I've heard since then is that it's gotten even too bigger than. Like, when I was there, you had to wait 2-3 hours in line to get into a room, and then once you got there, you just stayed and hoped some shows that you wanted to attend were there. And now
like,
it's
like packs, but worse.
Well, it's like, seriously, they should do I was talking to my friend Kyle about it. He said that registration, they've tried to sell tickets like 3 times, and they've had problems, so they can't sell anything, so they have to like, oh, wait, it's delayed, we're going to start in November, oh, we're going to start in December, oh, well, maybe later in December. What I really don't like is that preview night, you have to buy tickets, you have to be there the year before to buy them now.
Oh, that's sucks.
Because the two years we went, it was included if you got a 4-day package.
Right.
Yeah. So. and everything is just way too crowded for that convention center.
Yeah.
Like, what they should do is sell tickets to the panels, you know,
yeah.
or at least have some sort of pre-register for that, because I don't want to show up to wait 2 hours to be turned away because I was two people shy of being able to get in. So,
yeah.
Like, the last year I went, they had the Mythbusters panel in this tiny room, and the line literally snaked outside, and it's like, well, this isn't going to work. We're not going to get in, but where else
yeah.
are we going to go? You can't get into anything.
Well,
if you get into one of the big halls, get in the back and sit there.
Yeah. Kind of the nice thing about PAX, in September, we were trying to get into the Acquisitions Incorporated D&D podcast panel. And I thought, okay, hopefully an hour and a half will be all right, because we had gone to another panel where we knew some people who were on, you know, speaking on the panel. And
this is PAX Prime, right?
This is PAX Prime. This is just in September. And we rush over there, and they had already found out that the hall was full. Like, even though they were lining up, they knew that the hall was full. So that was... It sucked.
They were just hoping somebody would get kicked out or something, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's nice that they knew then instead of, like, finding out
after. Waiting until right before and
exactly.
saying, hey, yeah.
Yeah. So there was that.
Yeah. I mean, Comic-Con was awesome, but it's also just too big, and it's also not really comic stuff anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, here's the latest comic book movie,
yeah.
and here's... And it's like, I mean, that's fine, that brings in people, but it brings in people that are just there either to buy stuff, and they just happen to go to the big hall and sit there because it's the big hall, and they figure all the movie stuff's going on, and then any other thing you want to go to is... People would just sit there for like three panels and wouldn't leave, and you couldn't get into the hall, and it's like, because I would do the same thing. Once we got there, it's like, I got in this hall, I'm not leaving because I can't get back in here. So.
Yeah, yeah. That's also another nice thing about PAX. They stagger their big events, and besides the keynote and the, you know, introduction, like the first Q&A panel with the guys, besides that, they empty out the theater every time. So there's none of that shit going on.
I think I would like PAX because, I mean, I love Penny Arcade, but I'm not, I'm not really a gamer. I'm a very, very, very casual gamer. Like, a very lax casual gamer. Like, I still haven't beaten Super Mario Brothers. So...
That's pretty casual.
You know, it's been 20-something years. I still haven't... I get up to, like, World 8, and I'm like, that's all right. I had a cousin who played against me, and he played Luigi, beat the whole thing on one life, and then I'm back at World 1, and I'm like, I hate you.
Yeah.
I'm like, you dick.
I would not have the wherewithal to go through the game today. I mean, I used to play them when I was like 8 or 9. But I still never...
Well, we have it on the Wii, and it is frustrating.
Yeah, it is. It really. I never finished Mario 64, because every time I try to use the camera, I want to beat the shit out of him, because it's so bad.
I never had a 64. The way
we had
a Nintendo, we had a Nintendo, a Sega, the Super Nintendo, and then we waited a while, and we got a PlayStation right before the PlayStation 2 came out, I guess. Because there weren't that many games for it anymore, and we waited a while and got the 2. So
I don't know.
Now we've got the Wii, which, you know, a lot of people are like, oh man, you want an Xbox or you want the PS3 because all this great stuff. It's like, whatever, it's Nintendo. I'll get the Wii, and now everything's on Wii. And it's like, well, if you want this big expensive game,
I don't know. Go to the Xbox. Yeah, we were a Nintendo family. Like, we had a Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Game Boy, which I eventually gave to my dad because he played it more than I did. My mom still has her Super Nintendo.
What was that Mario game that came out before the 64? It was like a 3D looking game, but it was still on the SNES.
I don't. Super Mario 3 was on.
I remember.
Nintendo. Let me see. Super Mario RPG.
It might have been. Because I remember renting it, and I was like, this is a fun game. And then all of a sudden, you know, 64 and 3D everything gave out. It's like, well, I don't know what game that was that I got. So.
Yeah. I used to rent Nintendo 64 and play. I played Mario 64 and Doom 64 and maybe a Zelda game, I don't remember.
I didn't play a lot of games on my, like, when we had the original Nintendo, I played Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, and occasionally Life Force, so.
Yoshi's Island, yes.
Duck Hunt, that dog just yeah. Frustrated everybody. Yeah, anyway, Yoshi's Island was a fun game.
My mom keeps the Super Nintendo exclusively for Yoshi's Island. Yeah.
Like, I really liked the graphics in it. It was a fun game, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice. Like,
didn't they make a sequel for that recently?
Like,
that was
graphics.
Like, we're going back to.
I don't know.
They're like, there's doing a lot of retro gaming now. That like, there's a lot of. There's like that whole Mario. I mean, that whole new Super Mario where it looks like an old size roller, but Kirby yarn.
Mm-hmm. Which looked awesome at PAX, but I still haven't picked it up. I haven't touched
it. And now there's Epic Mickey.
Anything in a while. Yeah, Epic Mickey, which also looked awesome at PAX. The keynote speaker.
Well, it looked
It
looked awesome in the concept art before they decided to scrapper Mickey. Which once that was announced, I was like, well, what reason do I have to play this now? You've just told me that you listen to some biker dude who says he won't play the game, but don't ruin his childhood. Screw that guy.
Yeah.
Oh man. I mean, I kind of still want to play it, but after hearing all the bad stuff about it, I think I would rent it first before I would buy it.
That's probably a good idea. You know, they were playing through some levels that I saw. I think, like, you showed video either during the keynote speech or maybe. That might have been at E3 that I saw that. But yeah, it was.
E3.
It was full to the brim. Like,
remember when E3 was a big deal?
Yeah, it was pretty good this year. I mean, the Nintendo stuff at least.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, the last game I bought for the Wii, I think, might have been Ghostbusters. That's cool. Stretch. Means we're doing a good show. I actually beat the Wii Ghostbusters game.
Wow. I heard it was fun with the light packs.
The proton pack?
The controllers. Yeah. The proton pack.
Well, that's the reason why I got it on the Wii. I was like, well, let's see, I can hold this in my hand or something that feels like I'm holding a proton pack. I want to feel like I'm holding a proton pack.
Someone a friend of mine gave me Ghostbusters for Xbox because he had gone to like a special function at PAX and they had them available. I can't remember who threw it, like, you know, one up or something like that. And he got it, but he either had it or didn't want it, and he just gave it to me. So, and I still haven't played it.
Well, I think the really hardcore gamers didn't even want to bother with it. They're like, oh, it's on the Wii, or oh, it's, you know, it looks too cartoony, or most people I've heard review it, like they say it takes like 7 to 8 hours to beat if you're a really good gamer. It took me several different attempts to beat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said, I'm a very lax casual gamer, so.
Yeah, I have been.
Like the only, it's the style of the game. It looks more cartoony on the Wii and the PlayStation.
Yeah,
2,
they made it.
And it's also,
like that.
It's more. It also looks like that on the DS, but really, who wants to play that on the DS?
I didn't even know that was an option.
Yeah, that was my response. I was going to do a review of it,
that.
And I was like, why? It's like it looked more like the old 1980s Ghostbuster game, is what I've heard. So, I don't know. But yeah, Ghostbusters. Plus there's puzzle solving on the Wii version, so it's a little. It was kind of frustrating, because there's some stuff I don't know how I did it. Like you sit there for like 15 minutes trying to get past something, and then all of a sudden it happens, and you're like, this is like Mario Brothers all over again. What happened?
Yeah.
So. But that was a fun game. I also, another game that's very Wii specific is Star Wars The Force Unleashed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, I like the idea of it, mm-hmm. But the controls were so... You forget what they are if you go away from it, because they have this big tutorial thing. You have to get used to them. And then if you forget and come back, you're just... I was just bouncing in the corner shooting lasers and like, I don't know what's going on. I can't control anything. And my brother came over and we tried to play and we were both just bouncing on the opposite sides going, what is going on? Oh, it was frustrating. But yeah, that's the Wii.
Yeah, I haven't touched my Wii in a while. I'm sure you can't say the same.
That's what she said. Well, actually, I haven't. My mom plays it more than I do. She takes it and does the exercise stuff. She does the boxing and other stuff. My problem is I'd do boxing and I'd get all into it, and then the next day I couldn't bend my arms because I was so sore.
Yeah.
Like, what was I doing?
I know. I got... my brother-in-law gave me his old PlayStation, and I got Dance Dance Revolution for it. And I'm really, 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 really bad at it. Like, there's one song that
my mom
really
got
that I can
one of those
too, but...
Yeah, my mom got one of those DDR pad things, and she tried it like once and hated it. And I think it's still somewhere around here. She isn't using it.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard, and yeah, it does not really feel like dancing. There's a lot more jumping involved than I thought, which is not good. We're near in a third story apartment on the top floor.
Well, you can talk to Melinda about that because she's a big DDR nut and it's part of her exercise routine, which, you know, more power to you because I'm not a dancer.
Yeah, I love dancing, but, you know, club's expensive and all that good stuff. You can turn off the jumps? I'm betting it depends on the version because I never saw anything for that, but I can check it out. I kind of like the jumps because they really work you out. But, and I tried to put the system in a room that didn't shake as much because this floor squeaks even when my 6-pound cat walks on it. So,
they're all,
you know,
gonna
tried
squeak.
To put
I mean,
it in a stable. That's never happened before. It's like I've had hardwood floors before and I can tell where my cat is. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't understand. She's like a 6-pound cat, you know, light as a feather until she decides to nap on you, and then she gets very heavy. She's like, I'm just gonna weigh down on you now.
Yep, like a curling stone right in my lap. Oh, she's not here. Oh well. Shoot.
If you're talking about me, I'm gonna leave. Alright, so back to BMAR and Luigi Cozy Movies.
Yes. The reason he kind of I was looking him up.
Yes, go on.
What did you want to do?
I really want to do a podcast show just about Luigi Cozy. Like the Cinema Snob does a show about Bruno Mattei where they just meet in a bar. They just meet in a bar and all talk about a particular movie, like Women in Prison and his version of Caligula.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'd really like to do one about Luigi Cozy, because he's an interesting guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Ferrigno Hercules movies and the Ferrigno Sinbad. Crash, obviously.
One movie I suggested to Jerry was Paganini Horror, which I have not seen but sounds very interesting. About like a rock band finding old instruments that were rock and roll band purchases pieces of music to record that were used in satanic rituals. And basically
it sounds
they
a lot like
Satan
that Tenacious D movie.
Well, I didn't see that, so.
Well, it was alright. I mean, pretty much the entire joke is they're not really famous. Okay. And it was still better than Orange County, but that's not saying much.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But, yeah, that's... Luigi Cozy, his movies, I really like them because they have, like, a little kid excitement in them. Like in the Hercules movies, when you get these lasers and the gods are living on strange planets, and it's like all this weird stuff. And it's like, you know, he's thinking, this is going to be awesome, this is great. And you look at it, and you're like, I don't know what, where this came from. Like, the opening to Sinbad, I got that. I didn't see it on BMAR because I'd missed it. So I got the DVD, I pop it in, and it's like Edgar Allan Poe and the story of this story. Like, really?
Right.
Is this where we're, is this where we're starting?
I guess so. I forgot about that.
And it starts off with that organ music. And that synth. I love the synth music in those, because it's like, it really dates the film, and it gives it a particular kind of feel and sound. That and how every monster effect has that laser pew, pew.
Yeah.
And the laser glowing. The glowing eyes. I'm like, you can tell.
Animal. Or every freaking sound.
You can. It's like, you can, as soon as the eyes start glowing, you're like, oh, you can tell this is a cozy movie right here.
I'm very upset that
one of the best
Star
things,
because I would still like, I'd love to see it.
I'll tell you right now, Star Crash is with hands down my favorite bad movie. That thing has everything going on in it. It's like, it's a wet dream of bad. Like, you can't make fun of things. It's like everything is just going so. Everything, like, there's a scene where this space battleship has windows, because you want to have those in a spaceship, right? And they shoot torpedoes through the windows. They pop open, and little guys with lasers start shooting. They pop out of the torpedoes.
Oh. Wow.
I remember when I tuned in like halfway through that on BMAR when they were showing it. And everyone was like, I'd heard about this movie, but wow.
Hi. Yeah.
That one. Now, the funny thing about Star Crash, if you go on Amazon, there's a novelization of, I think, a sequel to Star Crash.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's got forwards by Caroline Monroe and Luigi Cozzi. So,
I might have seen that on Amazon. Did you post a link to that?
Yeah, I tweeted about it, because I was like, guys, look at this. This is, if you read the preview, you can read his foreword that he writes, and you become aware of two things. One, English is obviously not his first language, and two, he is obviously an elderly man, because he goes into talking about how when he wrote Star Crash, he was already 30. And then he starts talking about his friend who wrote some book, and I'm like, I am confused already. I'm not a page into this forward, and I am confused.
Oh, that's quality.
Cozy movies, they're like, I remember I was talking to Matt about, he did a vampire movie, but he was like one of four directors on it. Like, I guess three other guys bailed on different times, and he was in for a while. And Matt said he was really bored in it, but I still want to see it, just because.
Did I look that one up? No, that's the Hercules movie. I mean, you know,
he did that Godzilla movie.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that with Rain and Burr. That's crazy.
Apparently, I think what he did is they took a Godzilla movie and then they added a few scenes, which I don't know. I don't know, but I mean, given that Hercules movie has that gorilla and that T-Rex fighting, or as I like to think of it, King Kong and Godzilla. That movie.
So
I love those two
awesome
movies. They were so great.
Yeah.
I like when he's a god in the sky. He's you got the Ken action going on. I'm like, is he wearing an oracle? No, he's just a Ken doll. And then he goes on Earth and he's.
Oh, it's so sad. It's terrible.
I love
the main
thing, the stop motion things he fights.
Yeah. The main thing I remember is just how mangled Greek mythology is in those fucking movies. And I know it shouldn't upset me so much, but I swear.
Oh, it's not. Like I said, it's like you're a 10-year-old kid, and you get the Greek mythology as kind of like an idea that somebody told you about. And then he went and did his own thing with it.
Yeah.
And it is awesome
it's
on so
like
many
Greek
levels. It's like
by
a
axe cop, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it's. like, if other movies are, you know, rock operas, like, a Luigi Cozy movie is the keytar, you know, it's... It's just like, it's an awesome absurdity where you're like, I don't know why I like this, I just do.
Yeah. Sure, can I talk about Dune now?
But yeah. Sure, talk about Dune, yo.
Oh my god. Well, I watched it again last night. And the first time I watched it, I had no other distractions, just, you know, had a day, and I haven't... It's been on my list forever, and I've never seen the movie, and it's been referenced so many times, and, you know, I just sat down and watched it. And... I don't quite know how to put
that,
my feelings.
That is
in
a not uncommon reaction.
I thought it would be better. I don't know what I was expecting.
I get that it's an alright film.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I watched it, I got the DVD, and where they're explaining the spice and the planets,
yeah.
I watched that, and I sat there. And I was like, I need to watch that again. I don't understand any of that.
I did that, too.
I watched it at least three times, and then they bring in that space bender thing in that giant tank.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's...
That ugly ass.
And it's like, I kind of... I get that I should know, because they told me what's going on. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was kind of reminiscent to me of when I watched the original Stargate movie.
I have that on DVD.
Because when I
bought that, like, really cheap.
When I watched Stargate, I watched the entire movie. I got to the end, and I'm like, I don't know what I just watched. I kind of get the idea that there's supposed to be stuff I care about. I'm like, I was hung up on, like, I don't understand the gate. Like, I get that there's a whole other civilization on the other end and that they can have an adventure.
Yeah.
But I was still back at point one. I was like, I don't understand this gate thing. It's a giant stone gate that somehow leads to another... Wait, what?
I think I basically glossed all over that because it had James Spader in it and I didn't really give a shit about anything else.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I have the same reactions. Like, I know nothing technical about Stargate. It's just like, oh, it's the guy from The Crying Game.
I don't
it's
think you're
Russell
supposed to.
And
it's
James
you just.
Yeah.
You're just supposed to let it go, because if you get too hung up on trying to figure that out, you're not going to. It's
it's losing proposition.
It's going to ruin things for you.
Yeah. Nobody wins.
Yeah. Well, you know, a fun thing what happened was I decided at one point I was going to watch all the Planet of the Apes movies, because a couple of the guys on Twitter we were talking about are like, what point did those go from, like, okay to just really horrible to just why no?
Yeah.
You know? So I watched all of them, and I can tell you right now, the first one is like a Twilight Zone episode, because Rod Serling, he wrote like 30 drafts of that script, so... And they didn't go with his, I think.
Wow.
So, but he was involved in it. But it's, you know, it's like a Twilight Zone episode, so it's still watchable today. And then the second one, they didn't know what to do with it. It kind of goes somewhere different, so it kind of works, but it pretty much ends the series, like, right there.
Yeah.
It, like, there's, you know, the world is dead. They kill it. You know, it's over. How do you make a sequel to that? Third one comes
People
up.
Try. Yeah.
The third one, I was yelling at my TV the entire time. I was not so full of rage since that movie.
Riding the bus with my
The
sister?
Entire thing is a that it was worse than that one.
Oh,
it,
wow.
Because this the entire movie is basically everything I hate about movies. It was they took an interesting sort of serious sci-fi, a little bit of comedy here and there, but it's a fairly solid story, right? And they send the monkeys back in time.
Okay.
And it's a fish out of water story.
Yeah.
And they're going to Disneyland and everything, you know, and they're giving speeches at feminist rallies and stuff, and it's all well and good until they find out, oh wait, so the Earth gets destroyed and maybe we should try and so it goes exactly a 180 from, I mean, a 360 or whatever you want to call it from that. But like the first entire like half hour, 45 minutes just infuriated me. And then they try and have this serious plot where it's like, oh, they're out, you know, it's like, oh, your people will take over our people, and I must, you know, must kill you so it doesn't happen. And they were just wanting to survive, and it was basically, if you cut the first scene and the last scene of those two, that movie together, that's watchable. Everything else in it pissed me off so much. And then there were two sequels.
What? What the hell?
The fourth one was actually better than the third, if that's possible. It was actually, it was pretty much the Rise of the Monkeys. It was, you know, kind of like what you would think, like a Matrix or Terminator kind of movie. It's like the rise to power, the rise of the, you know. Okay, so that was all right. Although, I'll tell you right now, when you get a whole bunch of people dressed up as chimps together, you don't buy that any of those are actually monkeys. You don't. Like, you might buy it if you see just one guy. Mm-hmm. You get 200 extras dressed like that? No. Those are all people hunched over. It just doesn't work. But still, it's a good story. But then, the last one...
Broke you?
Oh. Mine. Well, there was one talking ape left, right?
Uh-huh.
And he led the ape rebellion in the fourth one. And he was the only one that could talk. Then there was a nuclear apocalypse. 12 years later, he's running a small colony of survivors. And all the other apes can talk now.
Okay.
Yeah. So... It made no sense. It made, and I like how at the ending it ended with they zoomed in on a statue of that ape and it had one single tear rolling down.
Aye.
Yeah, that was my reaction. It's like, no, why? No. What? No.
No. Make it stop. No. No. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, the third one just infuriated me. I did not stop screaming. I had a sore throat after watching that movie.
I can't remember the last movie I saw that did that.
Oh, it was probably a BMR movie.
It probably was.
It was probably during Blessed Ministries About Raptures.
God, that'll do it. I think I was too horrified to scream, like mostly by the puppets. Although I'm not sure the puppets that
the puppets. No, that was the
week before.
I don't remember
when
he did the puppets. That might have been the week before, but I think See Me Dance just angered me and boiled my blood. So
that was terrible. Oh god. Oh god. I think I tried to block it out of my head, and it just didn't work. It was so bad. Shit. What?
I don't know. The Left Behind movies are always... I don't know. You know what's funny about Left Behind movies? When one of them is you got Gary Busey, and another one, it had Howie Mandel, who... He's Jewish. What's he doing in this?
Wait, what? What?
Howie Mandel.
Where was Gary Busey in the Left Behind movie? Really? Why didn't we do that instead of Kirk fucking Cameron? What?
Because it was the first one. He was in like the third one.
Shit.
And then of course,
yeah, we should
watch
that.
Here's the thing. The Left Behind movies, I've seen all of them. Because my mom watches a lot of stuff like that. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, I'll tell you what. One of the most interesting ones is actually the Stephen Baldwin one because it's in a prison. So,
okay. I like imagining him in prison.
Stephen Baldwin.
Mm.
Oh man. Did you see? Have you been looking at my? I have a thing on my site of my weird cell phone photo galleries. I didn't have one this week though because my old cell phone. Died because the camera was dying on it, so I didn't take any good photos. Mm-hmm. But one of them had a book that Stephen Baldwin sponsored, I guess. Stephen Baldwin's Spirit Warriors. It's a bunch of kids. doing stuff for Christ, I guess, and one of them's in a wheelchair, and I'm like, I don't understand. Yeah, it looked like an old Image comic.
Did you read my strip today?
The last one I read was the Blueprint one. I don't think I got around to today's, because I was busy inking.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Pit My Lighthouse crew is from this, you know, station that's basically every bad show cobbled together and, like, every ripoff, and I kept racking my brain for, like, what can I put on this station? Like, what show would be really popular that they could make a mint off of and be able to do Pimp My Lighthouse? And I went through, like, all the stations, VH1, A&E, Discovery, you know, and I didn't go to MTV, I should have, but, you know, like, looking up all the crappy ghost things and Man vs. Food and Man vs., you know, Chinchillas and all this crap, and the Steven Seagal Lawman caught my eye, and I'm like, oh. Like, what kind of crappy, you know, B-movie actor could I put there besides Steven Seagal? And, you know, who comes to mind except Gary Busey? And I kept trying to think of things that he could do. Like, I really wanted to do stunt pilot, because he actually does have a pilot's license. But then I'm like, that doesn't...
Oh, boy.
That doesn't pop enough, you know? Like, he could get killed, but it's not, it doesn't grab immediately. And I ended up with, I ended up with Gary Busey Rodeo Clown, which I thought was pretty good.
That just seems too realistic, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I could see him doing that, so it's not that funny. Like, if you made him, he had a pilot's license, and he is the plane. Like, that I could laugh at. Like, he's just wearing a suit with wings on it, and he goes, brrr. Oh, man. Fun fact about VH1, ICP is in deals to get their own VH1 show.
I think... I heard about that, and it just makes me want to bang my head against the wall. But, I've given up on all that shit. Basic cable is so dead to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I flip through the news. I'm behind, even on shows I like. Like, I love Dexter, but I'm already a season behind on that, so...
Yeah.
Because it's not one of those shows you can just, like, watch.
I know.
You can't just casually watch an episode of Dexter. You have to sit and you have to watch it. And it's like, I just haven't had the time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's the same with Mad Men. I actually have. I've had the first season of Dexter for years and I never watched it. I'm behind on Castle now.
Dexter is an awesome show. You have to watch it.
I know. I keep hearing that. I'm behind on Castle.
No,
like, four
you must
or five
watch
episodes.
It.
Shut up! I know! Shut up! I keep getting that from everybody I talk to.
I've never watched Castle, because, like I said, I don't watch that much TV. I should.
That's, like,
the
only show that I've kept up with, and I've gotten behind, and it makes me disappointed. So.
Well, for the longest time, the only shows I really watched were The Daily Show, The Colbert Report, and then I watched the news on MSNBC, you know, like, Countdown and Hardball. I watched those, and then I would watch Dexter and Californication, which... Dexter is an hour-long show. I still say it's probably the best show on TV, but Californication is a half hour long, and they pack a lot into that.
I have no desire to see a show based on a Red Hot Chili Peppers lyric.
It's not.
It's
something else. It is selling it short. It's Mulder from X-Files being women, so...
Wait, what?
Never mind.
You got my attention.
Who's Mulder from X-Files?
David Duchovny.
David Duchovny, it's basically the love of his life got away, so he's trying to fill that empty void in his life with Boomtang, and,
oh.
Yeah, that was pretty much the show.
So this show is basically just him buying into his porn addiction. a nice vehicle.
Well, there are people. A lot of people were saying that it was just a PR thing for him being saying mm-hmm. he was a big. I don't know. But yeah, it is an interesting show. It's about him being a writer, so of course everybody. I don't know. It was a good show though. They packed a lot into it.
Hmm.
It's one of those shows.
If you sat me down anyway, in front of it, I would watch it.
Oh man, but yeah. So okay, we've talked about movies and TV, and we've talked about podcasts. Mm-hmm. Something I found interesting, as long as I'm mentioning podcasts, Kevin Smith has a podcasting network now. Like, he actually got a small theater mm-hmm. in L.A., and, like, every day they have, like, a live show of either his podcast or, like, seven or eight other shows of, like, other people hosting them. They come in and, like, record a live show or, you know, Tom Green does shows there now, so.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, not a big Tom Green fan, huh?
No. I'm not a big... I've listened to Smodcast once, and I was not impressed. So, I don't know.
Well, which episode was it? What were they talking about?
I just remember him expressing a wish that he could smoke pot with his mom. That's about all I remember.
Oh, they did that on an episode.
What do you mean? Like he got his mom in there?
His mom was a co-star, and... Yeah, she was a co-star in an episode, and he had some... I think he either gave her a joint or he made some brownies mm-hmm. or something like that. So, because he's pretty much 24/7 stoned, so...
Yeah.
After the whole Zach and Miri thing, he kind of just... Well, he's an interesting talker. Like, he talks about interesting stuff and... But, you know, stuff he's trying to think about, he says it before he actually, you know, has time to sit and find resources and mm-hmm. talk to people about it. You know, he's just voicing an idea, and then they either get feedback or find stuff out later.
I don't know.
They play around on that show a lot, and they make up characters and bits, and they just go into it. Like, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to be this guy.
I just never got into his mythos, so I could give a shit, you know? I never got into it.
Well, it's not like the Jay and Silent Bob podcast. It's more about
him.
I know. His crew, so.
But the one I heard, I didn't really end up caring. And so. Like, I didn't know what it was when I started listening to it. My friend put it on when we were in the car, and he didn't say what it was, or I blanked it out, and, like, 30 minutes in, I'm like, what the fuck are we listening to? So, yeah, it was that
Well, you get that response with any of the podcasts on that network, too. Like, one of them, he's got his friend Malcolm Ingram, who did that film, Small Town Gay Bar.
I haven't heard of that.
He does a show called Blowhard, where it's all about him, and he's got a co-host that's a lesbian now. He used to be Kevin for a while, and I think this lesbian filmmaker Marja something I don't know enough about, but pretty much every show was talking about, like, you know, what's the life of a gay man like, because I'm not gay and I don't understand it, so
okay.
And it was amusing to hear him talk about it. About using the internet to get his hiccups.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, if you're a gay guy and you have an internet connection, you're 10 minutes away from a blowjob anywhere you go. I'm like, well, that's a nice fact I never knew about.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it.
I don't know. It is interesting. Plus, you know, Ingram's just one of those guys. He's always digging himself into a hole, so it's always fun to watch him try and dig out and then dig himself back in.
I don't know. I'm just...
Oh.
It doesn't interest me.
I don't know. I find it interesting that he's, you know, they've got a theater and they sell tickets, you know, for people who come to
that
shows and everything. It's like...
Yeah.
You know, it's like he's... It's like they've got a network. Like, you don't know anybody else doing that right now. It's like, why don't people do it? Like, I was listening to... they have a live at Smodcast. They actually have people get married there now.
I heard about that. Weird. Like, it's hella expensive, but you can still do it. It's an option.
Yeah. And they... Yeah. But, you know, Tom Green, he had Joe Rogan on from Fear Factor.
Mm-hmm. See, I did. That fuck that. News Radio. He's from News Radio. Fuck Beer Factor.
News. Well, Kevin Smith's a big News Radio fan. So, well, his wife is, and therefore he is. I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know anything about their dynamic. In fact, they're doing he's doing a podcast with his wife now, because, you know, he's like, hey, I'm doing all these films and all these podcasts and stuff, how come you're not in these things? And she's like, I'm not a performer, I don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but I like how the first episode of the podcast, it started with them with her getting mad at him because they tried to record it like 3 times and they lost the previous recordings,
shit.
Or they were too high and drunk at the time, and... Yeah, that's a pretty good representation of their relationship. If she's constantly mad at him, and he's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't need that stuff.
I don't know, it's a fun show. And then there's the one with him and Jason Mewes, where Mewes talks about dealing with his heroin addiction.
Oh, lovely. That I didn't know about. I'm guessing that's why he did.
Like, you didn't know Jason.
Movie.
Well, I don't know. That movie had a $1.5 million budget.
Years ago.
What?
Okay, nothing. Just frustration.
Come on.
Nope. Nope. It's nothing I haven't said before.
Oh.
There's nothing I can change except to sell out.
What?
And, you know, me making money instead of them making money. Or, you know.
Oh, I pretty much think everyone that I talk to is like, if I had a chance to sell right now, oh, sure.
Yeah.
That's just, the thing is, no one's buying. So as long as no one's buying, then, you know, you're street. You're legit. But then, as soon as somebody's buying, oh, hell yeah. Why not?
Shit.
I mean... You take a look at, like, ICP. It's like, I don't have any of their records or anything, but you look at what they've done and all the stats of what, like,
yeah,
you know, they've got,
I know,
a record, multiple labels. They make, like, that Nightline interview said that they made, like, $10 million a year, although they dispute that.
Mm-hmm.
But, Violent J apparently has money saved up already for his kids' college funds, and, like, they're, like, 3 and 5. he's like, that's already paid for.
Wow.
So,
wow.
I don't know. I mean, the fact is that they're not on MTV or VH1 or anything. It's like they're not radio friendly or anything, and yet they have that that much success.
I know. It's impressive, I'll say that. And they know their audience, and they market very well, apparently. To their audience.
It's
kind of
like what
I mean. I don't.
It's kind of like a conversation I heard on Webcomics Weekly, where Dave was saying, he's like, you know, you can find somebody that you didn't know that they've got a comic. You're like, really? They've got over like 500,000 readers? I didn't even know they existed.
Yeah, like I didn't know about Chris Straub till last fucking year, even though he did the theme song for the Penny Arcade, the Paint the Line.
Didn't
dawn on me, like, oh, that guy does a comic. I never checked it out. And, like, he's been doing it for almost 10 years before, you know, he's like, hey,
yeah, he's been
stuff.
Doing all kinds of comics.
I know.
Yeah, it's like that bit that the Half-Pixel guys have. He's like, pup and a dog, superheroes, and then when they get to Straub, it's like, topic of the week.
Mm-hmm. I need to listen to that more. I hate going back and listening to old podcasts, because it's like, that's over and done with. Except for Daily Affirmation.
Well, it's not too daunting when it comes to the Webcomics Weekly, because they didn't do that many of them. But if you want to listen to, like, the Chris and Straub Power Hours, those are all, like, an hour plus. Or, you know, with, like...
Yeah.
Straw.
Really?
And Kurtz.
Ooh,
and
I like this new one today.
Yeah, I saw that. I just haven't had a chance to listen to it because I was getting ready for the show.
Yeah. I didn't even know it was there. So thank you, Wiley. Yes. But yeah, I mean, some of the Daily Affirmations ran long, but I didn't check out the Power Hour at all. And I don't expect that I will.
That was in, like, 2007, 2008, when they first got that office together. And that was really promising, and then, I don't know, something, the bomb fell out of something for somebody, and I think it was Straub had to go back to work somewhere or something.
Yeah.
They couldn't make it work.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it was an interesting time.
I can see them not getting a lot done.
During the time of one of the Deep Key cartoons.
Yeah. All the stuff I missed.
That is, you need a bird box.
Yeah, Dallas isn't that great.
Dallas. Yeah, I've passed through Texas. It's a nice looking area. It's just I don't like. I maybe Austin. I guess I could get along with Austin.
Yeah.
Like I'm not the demographic for. I'm from Ohio. I'm from a microcosm of the U.S. And you know, it's very interesting. The town I live in is. I'm from a fairly liberal town. The town I went to college in was fairly conservative. Hmm? What?
You're not comfortable with everything being bigger in Texas?
No, I'll tell you what. When we drove to Comic-Con and we drove through Oklahoma into Texas, it was nice to go to Texas. It was like, oh, look at this rest stop, man. This is nice and clean. They care about it. Stuff's not busted and missing. Like, the Oklahoma rest stop we stopped at, there's like, the mirrors were broken, the swing set was rusted without swings or something, you know. It was like, we just wanted to get out of that state. And as soon as we crossed that line into Texas,
stop?
I don't know what it was.
Yeah, that is nice. So is everyone moving to New York now, or what? Is that the next Mecca? Because that seems kind of ridiculous.
I don't know. Well, are you talking about like Kate Beaton and
About Kate Beaton, Casey Green, Evan Dom, Aaron Diaz,
and Meredith Grant was from New York, wasn't she?
Yeah,
so she's
exactly.
She's going back, right?
Yeah.
How long was she in Portland? Like, I don't remember.
About a year, maybe a little more.
I don't know.
Oh yeah, Casey's in Northampton. That's right.
I don't know where the Mecca is supposed to be for web cartoons. I think the idea is that we're supposed to be able to move wherever.
I know.
As long as we have, like, our stuff to produce.
Yeah.
Of course, you also have to have an audience.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know.
Well, I think the funny thing about it to me is that webcomics are put, basically that genre, cheapest place you can, because it's the internet, and you know, your costs will go down if you move someplace cheap. And all these people moving to New York, it's like, New York ain't fucking cheap. So I don't really get it.
I don't know. Well, I don't know what the deal is with that. I think maybe they all got together and decided to have a studio or something. That might do it.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know about it. I mean, I didn't know about people moving to Portland, but people are really crazy about it.
Yeah.
Spike Street is starting up an artist colony in Detroit. Yeah, we know that, Wiley. There is an artist colony in Detroit. It's just, like, not web cartoonist yet.
Yeah.
Which, it would be cool, but I don't know.
Yeah.
If I had people to move into a place with, I would consider it.
Yeah.
But right now, I don't.
Yeah. There are more factors than that, but I would be willing to look into it, at least. Always have someone sitting by the door with a baseball bat.
Well, you just have to have a bat in the house if you live in there. I mean,
I have a heavy duty flashlight. That'll take somebody out.
There you go. I don't know. I remember I didn't realize how bad my neighborhood was until I moved off for college, and then I came back and I was concerned about stopping at red lights after dark. I was like, I don't know if I want to be in this area right now. Can this light turn green a little bit faster? Yeah. Well, my neighborhood's nice. It's really funny how, like, because my town's an old factory town, so there's a lot of boarded up buildings. You know, there's like a nice neighborhood, and then there's a ghetto, get the hell out of there, and then there's like a redneck town, and then and it's like, these streets are all, like, one street away from each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird.
Yeah, it is really weird.
So anyway, we've been talking for almost 2 hours now.
Yeah, and I am getting rather peakish, so we might want to wrap this up.
You're like, I'm bored. I don't want to.
No, I'm hungry.
We didn't even talk about Minecraft.
I haven't played in months, dude. Oh. It would kind of be wasted on me because I haven't even gotten into portals or anything like that. I haven't even gotten the Halloween.
Well,
update.
My problem recently was when the last couple times I'd play, I would find a whole bunch of diamonds, a whole bunch of redstone, a whole bunch of gold, and I'd be like, okay, I'm going to go up. Oh, wait, first let me get this last bit of coal I see down here by the lava.
Shit.
Oh, no, I found the lava. Oh, no, I'm burning.
Yeah.
And this other time, I dig down straight to the bedrock, right? Mm-hmm. And then I would just stack some dirt or something to get back up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd get a bunch of pickaxes, and I'd be looking for the hole that I dug, and for some reason, I would just fall and die. I would fall into the hole that I dug, and you can't grab onto anything, so you just fall to the floor.
Yeah.
And it's like, the thing was, my house was like 2 islands away. I had to walk across and then swim across and then walk some more. Like, I had like 2 mini houses in between
it.
I had to walk all the way to the place, get more pickaxes, mm-hmm. fall down, and then I lose my inventory again. Like, I would just get so angry.
Mm-hmm.
One time I died, and then I died, and I left that area of the map because I was trying to find my house again.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back like mm-hmm. three or four times after playing the game, and I come back and my inventory was still there. So I was hopeful the other times that I died and respawned, I was like, oh, I hope my inventory's still there.
Yeah.
Nope, not a pickaxe, nothing, nope. Not a stick, nothing.
Not a stick.
That game really makes you feel... I haven't done anything with it. I've seen people, like, a guy made a CPU in it.
Yes,
like,
I
made
it
just
that.
A field
amazing.
Of, like, redstone switches.
It's really fucked up.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've got a lot of redstone. I could do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
The hard thing about playing with the portals is not the obsidian that I can get.
Mm-hmm.
It's diamonds to pick the obsidian.
Yeah. Yeah.
You lose one diamond pick and you just... It's like, no, what am I doing?
Yeah. Shit, that thing would last me like 5 days.
I know. Minecraft, man, it's one of those games that really... helps you realize how much one person can achieve. If you start that game, you don't have nothing. You don't have a stick, you
mm-hmm.
don't have nothing. You gotta collect dirt, build stuff.
Yeah.
And then later on, you've got, like, I built a lighthouse, and I got all these... I got a big... The problem is, like, I wanted to make a big white house, but you can never get enough light, so even if you ever switch back to having creatures, because I was in peaceful mode just to build... Because there's so many ways you can play that game. You can hunt, you can fight monsters,
mm-hmm.
or just build stuff. So, I'd build a house and everything, and then I'd turn the monsters back on, and all of a sudden they would pop up because I didn't have enough light in my house. So.
Yeah. Okay. Excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a monster spawner, or, yeah, just a hiccup. Like, having traps and stuff like that, but I never got
those.
That.
I've reached several
just, like,
dungeons
basically...
now, because if you dig...
Mm-hmm. I love dungeons.
If you dig into a cave
especially,
and just
especially, I was
going,
on a multiplayer
dungeons
server.
Are...
Yeah. On this multiplayer server, it's the same guys that did the Shaft podcast that Ryan was talking about. It's their server. And I didn't realize that you could have dungeons on multiplayer servers. I thought that there were no monsters anywhere.
I think they just enabled it recently.
Well, I found one when I was playing, so that was months ago. But, you know, it's a no-kill server. So I heard all these noises, and I dug my way in, and I met, like, 5 zombies, but they were just, like, looking at me. They were, like, jumped up and down and growled, and, like, were, you know, a few inches away, and they were just looking at me, and they couldn't do anything.
Oh man, the zombie pigmen! I'm look. I since I haven't activated monsters again, I'd have. Yeah, this in the
zombie
Nether.
Pig?
There's zombie pigmen.
Zombie.
Yeah, there's zombie pigmen, but they don't attack you unless you provoke them. It's a crazy place.
Uh huh. Okay.
Like, I don't know. I played for a while before he Minepedia.
Mindpedia, okay. I haven't gone there.
Yeah, when I played with it before, he really fixed the teleporters. So I'd come out one end, and then I'd come out in a cave on my world, but I didn't have any picks, and I'd be like, oh, I am screwed. You had to just dig straight up through stone with your hand.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I've got diamond, gold, and redstone. I'm not going to just die here, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry,
I shouldn't be doing this while we're podcasting.
That's all right. At least you're not looking
at porn. Where the hell are the creatures? Hey, how do you know I'm not looking at porn? You don't. Zombie siege.
Wow, chicka, wow, wow.
Yeah, forget it. I'm just going to do this.
Oh, it's all right.
But I just ate.
But yeah, Minecraft.
Here,
it's. I went to Chipotle. I would hold my cup up, but you know my camera's not working right now.
Oh, man.
So. What?
Oh,
what, you like Chipotle or dislike?
I have leftover Chinese, but it's a minuscule portion, so I don't know if that's gonna hold me.
Well, we've been talking for a while, and I'm sure if I can edit this into an interesting show. And here's hoping it didn't get lost or anything. Because that's the worst thing, is when you record an hour-long show, and you're like, this is going to be great, and then you only hear...
We'll find out, right?
Well, I'm probably going to have to line it up, because I can tell you're on a good lag from me, so...
Yeah. That's what
I can hear me on your side, so it bounces out.
Gotcha.
All right. So, you know, thanks for stopping by. This was a fun podcast, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Thank you for having me.
Well, I, you know, thank you for being a co-host, because otherwise it would have been like, okay, here's me all alone.
Well, somebody.
And it's like I've tried doing that with the stream.
Yeah.
No, people don't show up to my Ustreams. That's why I quit doing them. Of course,
yeah,
I do them at weird times. Like, I like to work in the morning.
Ah, fuck that.
What? I like to work in the morning, and then by afternoon, I'm burnt out, so...
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for everything and all. Probably see you next time I do a podcast, maybe.
Or
at least during the next BMR.
Yeah. Is he doing animation this weekend? He doing the animated stuff?
He should be doing... I am looking forward to that, with that animated Titanic, with the rapping dog. Oh, man, that just looks so bad.
In the movie that I was seeing, there's a Mystery Science Theater stream on Justin TV that plays original movies sometimes. And there's also something... called Sweatshop TV that's been on live stream a couple of times, and it goes under the pretense that, hey, let's watch a crappy movie while we work. It's like an artist network, and I think
just white noise channel, basically,
kind of, but they're, you know, they're bad movies, like bad horror movies. And I think it was partially started by this woman who's associated with Warren Ellis, so that was cool too.
Okay.
And, like, they did, oh shit, now I can't remember. Adam Age Vampire, which is really boring, and I came in the middle of.
Oh, yeah.
And.
Yeah, there's this one movie I really wanted. Gary and I were talking about it on Twitter, and he really wants to find it, but he can't. Because I was looking up for a trailer for Future Shock, right?
Uh-huh.
That Orson Welles movie.
Uh-huh.
And apparently there's another movie by that same name. It looks like a movie the Boondocks would have done.
Yeah?
It's about a guy who makes a time machine, and he goes back to slavery, and he gives slaves AK-47s and stuff, and then he comes back, and it's like, white people are like the black people now, and the black people are like the white people, and the white people live in ghettos. I'm like, what? I showed the trailer to Garrett. He's like, wait, what?
An interesting concept.
But we can't find it.
Oh, damn.
We can't find it. It's like that floating high school or whatever that movie Spike.
Oh, yeah. I heard
the show.
About
it's like
isn't
we can't
an anime?
I think it was a live action Japanese show, because there's an English one and there's like a Japanese one. And I think he found the Japanese one, but I don't think it was translated or something like that. I don't know.
I remember.
That's just.
Yeah.
Every time I think about that trailer, it's like, why did I find this?
One of the other ones that he showed, one that got me really pissed off because it was so bad, that Hardwired with Val Kilmer and Cuba Gooding Jr. It was just so bad. Like, everything about it.
Was that the advertising in your brain one?
Yes, where they put the implant in, and yeah, I fucking hated that. But I was looking that up, and there was like Hardwired, Hardwire, Hardware, and I clicked on Hardware, and it was this movie that sounded really cool, or like really bizarre, and I got it through Netflix, and it was actually pretty good. So it's like, oh, this is a nice mistake. So
a bad movie can lead to a good movie, or vice versa.
I know some people call it a bad movie, because it's kind of a niche movie, but I liked it. So, if you like industrial
movies...
Well,
niche movies are like... Okay, because see, like, a thing I really like about BMAR movies is, like, when he plays films about computers from before people who wrote those movies had computers.
Yeah, I fucking love those.
When lightning was magic, it could rewire computers and make things. Or when cyberspace was this world you could climb into through your computer because it got hit by lightning and it opened up a portal. Mm-hmm. It's like, we need more movies like that today.
God damn it. I should get him to show that Ada Lovelace movie that I saw, but that was pretty bad.
Oh.
But it had Tilda Swinton in it, and who doesn't love Tilda Swinton?
I don't know. Two movies I really want to watch, just because I've seen parts of them on like USA, but I've never watched them uncut, because you can't watch a movie on USA. It's like David Spade says, some movies are made just to show a little bit of boob, and that's okay, but USA will cut that out, and it's like, no, we don't want to see this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the movie's Zapped and Zapped Again.
I don't know.
Where the guy, he invents, like, this drink that gives him telekinetic abilities to, like, rip people's clothes off, make them fly, and do all this stuff.
So it's like Bruce Almighty.
It looks exactly... Pretty much, but it's like it's a nerd in, like, a high school or a college.
Gotcha.
So it's very much... It's like, you look at the cover of the movie, if you Google the image of the cover, it's like him standing...
Of course! Taking your skirt off.
It's him standing... It's him. There's a picture of him, like, naked and holding a book in front of himself, and then shot through, like, this woman's legs.
Mm-hmm.
And they, yeah.
Scott Baio!
I was like, these,
oh, fuck.
Like,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It has Scatman Crothers in it, too.
It can't be any worse than Computer Beach Party.
We have to see this movie. It has Eddie Deason in it.
Oh, man.
He's the bad, bad nerd movie barometer of the 80s.
Oh, there are so many bad movies that I just want to watch that, like, lately I've been really wanting to watch Southland Tales, just because every time I've heard people talk about it lately, they've tried to explain it, and it just sounds more and more fucked up.
Yeah.
The more I try to understand...
Yes. I've heard,
like,
that too.
On a Smodcast, he was talking to the director of it, who's a buddy of his.
Mm-hmm.
He also did Donnie Darko.
I know, but, like, after Southland Tales. I remember being really disappointed hearing about Southland Tales.
He's working on some other project that I don't think anybody's going to know, understand.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought he came out with something else. I'm looking him up. Richard Kelly. I was looking at David Kelly. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Operation Endgame? What the fuck is that? No!
Oh boy.
No! No! What the hell? He was a producer of I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell? Seriously?
Oh, man.
He didn't direct it, he produced it, but still, what the fuck? Oh. He did The Box!
Did you see
the
Donnie Darko sequel?
the Samantha Darko thing, the S Darko? No.
I have no idea. I watched like half of Donnie Darko and I was, I don't know.
I really liked Donnie Darko the first time I saw it. And then like subsequently it got like more like what the fuck. Like this guy is, you know, huffing his own supply too much. But
but yeah, I kind of want to watch like the, Southland Tales just because. Because I watched the trailer for it, and I was like, it goes on and on. It doesn't try to explain anything to the point where it's like, it's kind of beautiful in a way to see something that you don't understand what's going on. It's like you open a book on chapter 37, and it just kept going.
Yeah.
It's like, let it go. Let it do its thing. More power to you.
Yeah.
It's like watching a film in a foreign language. I don't understand any of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. he did The Box, which I heard about, which sounded interesting, but also could be really bad. The one where you a small wooden box arrives on the doorstep of a married couple who know that opening it will
I heard about that.
$7 million and kill somebody.
It'll kill somebody?
Yeah.
And it's like you don't like kill somebody you don't know. That sounds a lot like 7 pounds or something, you know, one of those things where it's like, how do you feel about this proposition?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the user review that comes up first says, press the button and you will lose 2 hours of your life. So that's not a ringing endorsement.
Oh, man. But then again, really horrible movies can sometimes be awesome and sometimes... I don't know. I mean, I went on a bender one time where I tried to rewatch movies that they showed in school.
Yeah.
Like, I tried to watch Gandhi and Malcolm X. And I never got around to watching Brave New World with Leonard Nimoy in it.
We hardly ever.
Well, I never got around to rewatching. Yeah, I never got around to watching the good movies. I watched a lot of movies like where they'd fast forward or the teacher would step in front of us while they skip past a segment. I remember we watched Fall in the House of Usher, which is just a bad horror movie that has nothing to do with the Edgar Allan Poe story, really. It was just like, well, this is kind of a horror movie. I don't remember the guy with the pneumatic drill hand drilling into somebody's face in the poem, but...
You weren't looking closely enough to the subtext! Come on!
Oh, man. But anyway. Pinky up.
Shut up.
We should do this again sometime. This was fun.
We should.
But we need to actually have more people showing up.
I barely talked about Dune.
Because, like... we have a thing with bad movies. Like, my regular bad movie buddy moved out of town, like, the other end of the state.
Yeah.
And he never has time to do podcasts with me. If you listen to... We did a show on Star Crash and then Voyage to the Planet of Prehistoric Women.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that movie. Oh, that movie. Well, it's like a Russian movie about going to Venus or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just did not work. When they've adapted it into like 3 different movies, so this one they just inserted women.
Insert women.
And then we reviewed the Time Machine movies, the Time Machine, the 2002 remake, and then we reviewed Time After Time. Mm-hmm. And then we talked a little bit about Hot Tub Time Machine because it wasn't out then.
I need to see that again.
Hot Tub Time Machine. I got it. I was hoping for a little bit more in the unrated cut, but... There's a couple scenes, but it's good. I like the part where Rob Corddry just looks at the camera and goes, "You have a beautiful penis, man." That movie really deserved better than it got, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Alright, I have to
sign off. But anyway.
I'm eating myself over here.
Thanks for the show. So
thank you for the show.
I'll try and get it, you know, this put up on my site. You know, you'll see it on the Twitters.
I'll never listen to it.
If we want to do another one again sometime. What?
I won't listen to my voice.
Oh, come on.
It takes a lot for
Fine,
me
Fine, then
to
I'll
die.
Just do a Mr. Bill impersonation.
Oh, no!
Nice to meet you, Melinda. Thank you for...
Nice to meet you, too, Mel.
Thanks for enjoying our wacky podcast. No, don't
our
worry
wacky
about
high
it.
Drinks. Yeah, we'll try this again, maybe here. Did you like Tiny Chat?
It was fine.
Did you want to try something else? Because I know some people, they use TalkShoe, but I don't like... TalkShoe is always kind of weird, and then Blog Talk Radio is kind of the same thing. I don't know. They use real numbers to call in, and it's just weird.
Every time I tried to do anything with TalkShoe, because, you know, I tried to get the daily affirmations, you know, when I was looking for daily affirmations, they did it on TalkShoe. But, like, it seemed really confusing to... I don't know. I would rather not. This is fine. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. This is fine.
I think your
once
camera
we get
work,
more, well, if we
but...
Don't worry. I'll figure something out. I don't know if it's... I need to update something.
One of them has to work.
Well, they work, but then it's like, I don't know if it's Tiny Chat or my browser not doing it. I'll try a different browser, maybe. Because, like, I could see it in... It wasn't recognizing CamTwist, which is what I'm running it through, but it recognized it through, like, Google Video something. I'm like, I don't even have that. I don't know what that is.
That's weird.
And then I try to access it, and I just get the mic, so...
Oh, okay. Well, I got mine to work by shutting off my Creative camera program. I had it running when I first tried, and once I shut it down, I had the option of, like, just the regular Creative webcam stream.
Yeah, it might be the browser, it might be Tiny Chat, I don't know. I mean, I've got a thing recording the audio from both my mic and from the browser, so... You know, if I'm coming in through the browser, I might just use that.
Yeah.
I've got two different channels of audio.
Yeah.
So, either way, we should be safe as long as I recorded it.
Yeah. Should be fine.
But this was a fun show. We should do it again sometime. So, you have a nice night.
You too.
And I'll see you on the other side. I guess maybe at the next BMR.
Hopefully.
Good
night.
Productions.com. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/NoRights.